The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the Rawcast. I'm your host for this episode, Don Delorente, and I'm joined by my sixth man coming off the bench like Vinny Johnson, Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? Let's talk some Raw.
Yeah, man, we're here for the Rawcast, so this is the show usually hosted and promoted by Samuel Kalunga Enterprises, but he couldn't make it this week, so I'm here filling in the gaps, and I got you to be my co-host here for this lovely voyage onto what happened on the Red Brand on Monday night. So we start Monday Night Raw, and there's something different this week.
Yeah, it is real different.
Because we got a lot of our NXT favorites surrounding the ring as a part of what? An audience.
Yes.
Vince spared no expense. They're all behind plexiglass walls, so it looks like a hockey match is about to break out. But they ain't got no chairs, though. They had to stand for this whole 3 hours.
Oh, so they didn't copy all of the show on Wednesday night. TNT.
No, not exactly. But yes, for the most part, they did with the people there in the crowd. So very interesting that it took fucking 2 months for them to realize we need some ambiance in this mother.
Right. They're doing just empty arena shows and be like, you might want to use your development talent as audience people, you know. It can work.
You got 120 people down there that ain't never been on TV. You can just throw out there. And somebody may be interested. And you may find something like a Pineapple Pete. But no. You're not hip like that.
No, he's not hip. He doesn't. I think it's on an interview a couple weeks ago. He doesn't. The outside world doesn't exist to him. And I'm like, well, that's weird, you know. Like, how does he get ideas? You gotta have ideas and stuff, and you know, not all the yes men ideas are going to be good. So
that's why he has those sorry ass writers, as Jim Cornette would say.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
So we officially start the show with the Kevin Owens show. He gives props to the audience. He says they are the future. And he welcomes everybody to the show. He says we are all in for a treat, as he's going to be wrestling tonight and he's going to be taking on Angel Garza. But before that, he wants to discuss the triple threat women's match between Charlotte, Nia Jax, and Natty that's scheduled for later tonight. He says Kevin's guest is going to be Asuka. So she comes out. She's still very excited about Becky. And then we see last week's actions by Nia when she attacked Kairi Sane. Before Asuka can speak too much on the matter, Charlotte interrupts. She comes down to the ring. Very nice robe full of feathers. She drops one. Kevin Owens tries to give it back to her. Charlotte says that the Raw Women's title should have been handed to her. Asuka has never beaten Charlotte, and she needs to manage her expectations. Out comes Natty, and Kevin removes his banners to assure they are not damaged this week by Natalya. Natty gets in the ring, she smirks, then she looks to Kevin, who says he took care of the signs for her this week. Natty says that he has nothing to worry about. She wants to apologize to him and his crew. She apologizes and says she doesn't know why she did what she did. She's just been frustrated. Charlotte laughs at Natty, says sucking up to Kevin Owens will not help win the match. Owens calls it a nice gesture. Charlotte calls Natty irrelevant. They're interrupted by Nia Jax, and then Asuka removes her robe and title just in case. Nia taps the mic, asks everyone to stop. We all know she will be the next champion, and we know what she will do tonight, so get her ready. Owens says, oh, hold on, let me leave the ring. Nia says, good idea. She wants Asuka to remember what she did to Kairi Sane. She's going to bulldoze over Asuka. Owens says, please, whatever you do, Asuka, don't hit Nia in the face. So Asuka hits her like near the face. Then when Charlotte attacks Natty, Nia dips out of the ring as Natty and Charlotte brawl. And then we go to commercial break. How'd you feel about that opening segment, sir?
I don't know. I guess the whole brain, which name doesn't extend to Charlotte, because, you know, she can just float wherever she wants to float. And I mean, it was a pretty good segment.
She's literally the queen. Like, if this was a game of chess, she's literally the queen.
Shogun,
he definitely is.
Right. He would definitely agree with that statement. Oh my goodness grief. But yeah, no, but I mean, it was a good segment to kick off, you know. Why couldn't Nia get hit in her face? That's the thing I want to know.
You see how pretty she is? That's what
I mean, yeah, she is fine. She is fine. But I'm like, you know, we get hit in the face. You get, I mean, Becky Lynch got hit in the face one time and she still kicked the whole roster's ass. So
and,
whatever.
And plus, it was Kevin's way of kind of like teasing Asuka to, you know, if y'all tell her not to hit in the face, where is she more than likely going to hit her in the face?
Oh, of course. You know, Asuka. Don't tell Asuka what to do.
Yeah, but please don't be hitting Nia Jax in the face. Goodness.
Yeah, oh, God. We know you and she's like one of your bays.
You got to have bays in this thing, man.
Of course.
You know, I can't help that you blocked by your bay so you don't get the blessing.
Well, no. I'm cool on her. She had me blocked for no reason, though. I keep telling y'all that. Y'all just like, you must have said something to her. I'm like, I don't disrespect people in that craft. And somehow I just end up blocked one day and I'm like, yo, that's wild. But you got
roped in with somebody.
Yeah, but she got me. But, you know, I'm not blocked on Instagram, so it's cool. Little things.
Sneaking in through the back door. All right, so before his United States Championship match, Kayla interviews Apollo Crews. This man has got the biggest smile ever. He's so excited. Should be serious, but he's excited. So we'll see how this turns out. Andrade versus Apollo Crews United States Championship match. Andrade hurricanranas Apollo into the corner. We get the running knees from Andrade. We get a cover for a two count. Andrade kicks Apollo in the hamstring a couple times, but Apollo fights back up. He presses Andrade. We get the standing moonsault from Apollo. Then the standing shooter star press. Apollo goes for the pin. He hits one, gets a two, and he gets the three count. And the new United States champion is Apollo Crews.
Yeah, it caught me off guard when I heard that three count. And I'm like, wait, what?
Had your back turned, getting that last little bit of food or that next little piece of snack, and was like,
right.
There's a move he does every week he wrestles 1,000 times, never wins a match. And then the next thing you know, it's like, he won?
Right, I was like, wait, they said, and new. I was like, hold up, he actually beat Andrade? Oh, man, okay.
Yeah, we've seen him do that setup, like, every time. He never beats anybody.
But, I mean, I just wonder why it took so long to even just try to give him a push or something. Anybody keeps saying he doesn't have, you know, no kind of charisma. I'm like, well, you can kind of make that happen. You know, if you work with somebody, you give him a chance. You know, but I guess they finally saw something, and here we go.
Well, again, when you're working with a third to a half of the roster, you know, you got to look for new people to kind of put on your TV. And so, you know, just by being available every week. Hey, let's do something with Apollo. He's here every week. Okay.
Yeah, but the thing was, he was in NXT. He was hoping he would have a nice... He
came in from NXT too fast. He wasn't...
That's the thing. I'm thinking he's going to have a nice NXT run proper down there. The next thing you know, we saw the little video where he getting called up. I was like, Then he got looped in with Titus, and then he was just kind of just floating around. And then next thing you know, Paul Heyman, you know, he gets traded to Raw, and now he's getting a mini push. So maybe this is the start of something.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. They gotta somehow. I know they can't. It's gonna be hard because they don't have the talent in the parts that they used to back in the day. The way they used to have them slotted. But they gotta find a way to make the Intercontinental title and the United States title mean something again. Because I mean, now if you get it, it's just, you just got it,
right?
You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh snap, I'm ready to see him wrestle this person or that person,
right? You know, we don't get no good feuds like we did back in the day with those titles,
right?
Especially the U.S. title, we had some great feuds back in the day with that title. So, you know, it's just like we don't get those these days. It's like, okay, it's a secondary title, and they don't put the build behind that. They don't put the meaning behind it. Like, that title was meant something, you know, in the 80s. That was a title, like, if you had the U.S. title, you was definitely going to be doing something.
And the NWA, as it was originally was created, that was, like, the number one belt that you could win outside of being the world champion,
right?
United States champion. So yeah, it's got a deep history, and the Intercontinental title too, because, you know, they put it on usually the best straight up wrestler, mm-hmm. because that belt was going to more than likely be the main event in most of the house shows,
right?
And two, it usually meant that if you got that belt, you were gonna be in the championship mix at some point. You're either gonna win it or you're gonna get a chance to wrestle for it.
Hey, and I mean, we can think about some names who's had the U.S. and the Intercontinental titles, and that's just a title that, like I said, carries some history. But now it's just like, you have it, and it's just like, that's just it. It's like, come on, like, you have to build something up here. You have to build these mid titles up to mean something, because, you know, you can't just put it. It's like, you just can't keep it as a prop. Like have it mean something. Like, come on now. It's like, you have people on there. Like, Andrade had some great matches, but you have to build your mid card up around that title. They really have to start doing that. But
I'm happy for Apollo. I mean, he got a chance.
I'm real happy for him. I'm glad.
He got a chance to work with one of his best friends, Zelina Vega.
Wait, they friends off camera?
Yeah. That's the crew. Zelina, Apollo, and Aleister Black. That's the crew. And
Tozawa. Oh, yeah. Well, I know he was cool with Ricochet and Akira Tozawa, but yeah. I didn't know he was... Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's the crew. So, good for Apollo. And then, like, you know, we just discussed, hopefully they can build up the title with him, and he can make it mean something and give us some good matches. Charlie comes down to ramp to interview Apollo right after the match, asking what it means for him to win his first title in WWE. Apollo says when he first started this journey, everyone said he couldn't do it. They laughed at him, but he never gave up. 11 years. You can finally say he's won his first title. He knows when his body gave out on him. He knows what we were thinking, but he never gave up. He never quit. Now he can stand here and say to the whole world that he is the new United States champion. Backstage, Seth has a mask of Rey Mysterio's for no apparent reason to us. It's not even the one that they took off when he, you know, tried to poke his eye out a couple of weeks ago. Seth says he wants to celebrate tonight. He says he's better than he has ever been, and he wants to thank one man, Rey Mysterio. He says Rey presented himself in a time of need. He was chosen to be sacrificed and fulfilled his duty valiantly. You can't imagine the pain he went through or how his son Dominic feels about all of this. If this act was Ray's final act as a WWE superstar, then it was a courageous one because it allowed us to move forward into the future. From the side, Murphy and Austin Theory, they get on either side of Seth. He reintroduces Theory. He says that both of these men understand what it's like to be underappreciated. Under his guidance, their ceilings are limitless. Murphy says that he has faced obstacles, but needed guidance, a mentor, and a leader. He needed the Monday Night Messiah to lead him into the future, and for that, Murphy thanks him. Theory says when he got here, he thought he had friends, but they abandoned him, and the Messiah found him. He thanks Seth. Seth tells them both that they are very welcome, but this is just the beginning. Later this evening, they get to show Ray firsthand the goodness that he has brought to Raw when they make examples of Humberto Carrillo and Aleister Black and show them what happens when you stand in the way of the Monday Night Messiah. You feeling this Men in Black?
Yeah. It was kind of, I really thought that, you know, they was going to keep the trio of, you know, Andrade, Another Pretty Boy,
Angel Garza,
yeah, Angel Garza and Austin Theory, you know, have like a triple A type of thing, but you know, having him with Seth makes more sense, and you know, it seems like Murphy is still not too thrilled with, you know, Theory coming over to their little squadron and whatnot, little squad and whatnot. And I think it might be some one-upsmanship to kind of see who gains Seth's favor overall. I can see that in Buddy's eye. He keeps talking to him, and he's like, got that look like, you know, why are you here? But this could be real interesting going forward.
Hopefully Seth can lean into it a little bit more. God, he needs some charisma with it. He's playing it too low-key.
Well, I mean, he probably got to watch some things and probably should watch some old, I don't know, somebody old who had that kind of charisma and just see how they played it.
You ever heard of this? You ever watched this Steve Martin movie called Blind Faith?
Yes.
That's what he should watch.
Oh, okay.
But if you remember how Steve Martin was, the charisma he has in that movie?
Right.
He first comes to the place and he's trying to get the people to believe in him the first couple of days of the revival or whatever.
Yes.
And then what happens? He's doing it so well that he actually starts believing and shit starts happening for real. And he's like, it scares him.
Well, it's kind of like when The Undertaker, I think, had the Ministry of Darkness, and he was really, and I guess Vince, it was like Vince at the time, Vince was like, he's really believing that he's this, this powerful entity or whatnot, you know? Like, you know, something like that, you know, he was like really just dark. I mean, Steph is doing a good job with it, I see, but like you say, he needs a little bit more to bring it home.
Backstage, Charlotte is welcomed by Charlie. Charlie wonders if she wins tonight and becomes a double champ at Backlash, what would it mean? Charlotte says she is the most consistent and prolific women's champion in history. She says the number of titles doesn't matter. It's just math. She says no one compares. In comes Asuka. She's doing her dance. She says something in Japanese to Charlotte. So, yeah, we had that. Asuka is the best. No translation needed. The Iconics are here.
Peyton, yeah, Royce. I know you was happy about that.
I was happier 2 weeks ago than I was last week.
What's up with that?
Well, you know, we're about to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Peyton wants to apologize to Billy. Billy wants to apologize to Peyton. She says she got caught up. She got so caught up that she slapped Peyton. It's unfortunate. And it makes her sick to her stomach that she hurt Peyton. They've come so far together. Peyton appreciates her apology. They grew up together, signed their contracts together, and they won their tag team titles together. They bring up the fact that they never got to defend their titles, and it was instead given to the office's favorite blonde. So out comes Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, who says they've had every opportunity in the world, and they blew it. Nikki tries to talk, but they cut her off. She says that she just gets to, they said that she just gets to stand there and look grateful. Nikki tells Iconics that every step Alexa has taken, she has taken as well. She left Scotland with nothing and got to the WWE and had nobody. It was okay for them to. They had each other. Nikki had to scratch and claw for everything. Lexi gave her time, respect, and was there for her. They would always laugh at her and her cute little accent. What's funny is they wanted to talk about friendship, but her and Alexa are the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Why? Because Alexa helps her focus. She thinks Nikki taught her something about friendship, too. She can't think of anything more iconic than that. Oh. That was a fucking rip roaring of a promo by Nikki Cross. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, she definitely delivered on that one.
There were several candidates for this week's parting promo, I think, on this episode of Monday Night Raw.
We'll see who you choose.
Well, after all of that, the Iconics attack Alexa and Nikki. Billy gets Nikki in the corner. Peyton drops Alexa. Spinning heel kick from Peyton to the face of Nikki. We get a double team on Nikki. They kind of do like an inverted magic killer. And then the Iconics grab the tag team titles and hold them high. Now, that's the shit I like. Backstage, MVP scrolling through. He says they need to talk. She says they need to talk. MVP is like, no, we don't, and just walks away. He welcomes us back to the world famous MVP lounge and welcomes his trainees. He says he's going to cover their tabs tonight. MVP says this is the only nightclub that can boast the superstar power of Drew McIntyre. So he welcomes Drew in. Drew comes in. He pulls a natty. He starts tearing the club up, throwing the chairs around and stuff. He's asking for Bobby Lashley. MVP says tonight he will not be touching Drew. No contract, no contact. I like that right there. MVP says he wants Drew to remember the last time he invited Drew to the MVP lounge when he offered selfishly his managerial services. MVP tried to be a friend and got Claymore. He had two immediate thoughts after that. One, Drew is definitely going to become champion. And number two, when he loses the title, I will personally play a role in that outcome. He says it took Lashley 13 years, and after that time, Lashley has a shot because of MVP. Drew says it took him 19 years. Drew wants to remind MVP of what he said. Drew doesn't need anyone thinking for him or talking for him and doesn't want someone like MVP kissing his ass. One thing Lashley said last week that is 100% true. The only way he will ever take the title is by prying it from his cold, dead hands. MVP says that can be arranged. Here comes Bobby Lashley. MVP introduces him as a future WWE champion. Drew then hits MVP with a claymore. Drew removes his shirt. He dares Lashley to get in the ring. MVP struggles to stand, but he manages to do so while holding Bobby Lashley back.
Yo, he took MVP's head off of that claymore. He took him straight out, and that was it.
Well, that's what MVP get for not having his head on the swivel. Got too caught up.
I see, yeah. He turned around. And next thing you know, it was foot to face and
talk less, claim more.
Right. And he was trying to struggle. It was kind of like, you know, you're in a boxing match and you're trying to get up and you just can't.
I wonder if he's given Samoa Joe about a 3% on all those shirts that he's selling. Because you know Samoa Joe came up with that, right?
With what?
The Talk Less Claymore, the new shirt he's got out.
Oh, I ain't see it. I don't remember. Yeah. If he do, he should.
Yeah, he had it on check. Monday. Backstage, Natty gets some interview time with Charlie. Apparently, Natty, she gets a phone call, though. It's TJ. He's apologizing for apologizing. She says she doesn't need this right now and needs to focus. She gets back to the interview. Charlie tells her that they're out of time. Natty looks up to the sky just to show that she's clearly frustrated with how things have been working out for her lately.
Wait. Why is TJ apologizing to her?
No, I think that she was apologizing to him for apologizing to Kevin last week, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think he's still a producer backstage or something like that. He wasn't among the cuts.
The man nearly died in their ring. They better not cut him.
Look, nearly died in the ring with that one of their announcers. I ain't gonna say no names, Samoa Joe, but
it was clearly an accident, but yes.
Oh, yeah, it was an accident, but it was just like, mm-hmm. But he came a long way. He came a long way.
Like really close to not only dying, but not walking.
No, I mean, before the accident, I'm talking about with wrestling wise, he came a long way.
Oh man, him and Cesaro was the shit.
Yeah, exactly. I love that tag team. Like that tag team was one of my favorites, even though they was going, I think it was beefing against New Day, was like going against New Day, but I really liked their tag team because they were really good together. Mm-hmm. And then the accident happened, it was just like, oh man. Like, Yeah, but man,
that whenever people have their opinion and they say wrestling is the F word, just tell them that the injuries are real.
I said, yeah, so the storylines, the outcomes might be predetermined, but ask about these injuries.
Yes. Kevin Owens is coming down to the ring for his match with Angel Garza, but Angel Garza comes out from behind. Hits him in the knee, so, you know, that's the way the match is going to start. Kevin Owens with a bad knee.
Well, that sniveling heel, Angel Garza.
Whoa! Right now, let's do whatever is possible physically for Kevin Owens.
And Joe, you know KO, he is not going to quit.
Oh, he absolutely will not quit. There is no quit in this man.
Angel Garza with the, some would say it's a great tactic before the matchup, gained the advantage, but now he's in trouble.
Yeah, there's no way.
A super kick by Garza. Takes advantage of the injury, and Kevin Owens able to kick out.
Stay on him then, come on.
Owens perched on the top rope, joined by Angel Garza.
And this is a very, very dangerous piece of real estate for both these men.
Close range with the headbutt.
Down he goes.
Garza is down. Owens trying to push through the pain.
Again, I got a question.
Owens is struggling up there.
I have to question the smarts of Kevin Owens here. Trying to come up from the top.
Senton! 200.
And he got all of that one.
266 pounds into the chest.
But in doing so, perhaps further injuring the left knee.
Kevin Owens trying to will himself on here in this fight. And now Angel Garza. He had all the momentum to start off this matchup. And now look out.
The
pop-up. Went for the pop-up powerbomb, but he could not base
it. That leg collapsed.
And now Owens caught. The wing clipper by Garza.
He got him.
Angel Garza has beaten Kevin Owens.
Here's your winner, Angel Garza.
Place a huge asterisk next to that victory for Angel.
Oh, you're ridiculous, Byron. What a tremendous victory.
And Kevin Owens is upset by Angel.
Right. That quote, I was like, wow. I didn't expect that.
Heck no. And then he got beat down after the match.
After the match, too. Right. I said, okay. I said, it must see something in Angel Garza to let that happen to Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah, they've been seeing something in Angel Garza. He got moved off NXT quick as
quickly.
Hell.
Look, he was quick. He said, "Oh, sir, you go on main roster."
Right.
Take your time to the main roster.
Exactly. I just saw somebody else is getting ready to come up to the main
roster. Me too. I saw that too. I said, really? I said, I understand his partner. I said, y'all broke up the partnership too quick. But that damn Rona.
Yeah, man. Just getting in the way of a lot of things.
Yeah, but yeah, I saw that and I was like, this is going to be interesting.
Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. This week's challenge is they're playing golf.
So can we give a nice shout out to Bianca Tabinki for, you know, just her mindset when it comes to these outfit designs, because she really been putting in work.
Of course, it's always a Minky appreciation over here.
Of course, but did you see the tweet? She was like, he wanted to pay $79.95, and then he remembered. She said he remembered that she was married to the EST of WWE, and then they showed pictures of her putting the pants together and everything. I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Say, so you spend 8 hours of what? I could whip you up some pants for free, my guy.
Yes, all I need is about $9 worth of stuff.
And he probably went, guy. Next thing you know, she read the sewing machine, getting it.
All right. Someone tries to stop one of the Viking Raiders from eating a big old turkey leg. Yeah. There's like a golf instructor. He wants to remind everybody of the rules.
Yeah.
He's not really instructing them on anything. I forget which one, because they changed their names, and I know them by the old names, but anyway.
Right.
The fatter of the two Viking Raiders, he like tore up the golf course trying to tee off, so they got kicked off of the real golf course. And so they had to go to a mini golf course. There's all kind of obstacles and stuff. So the Viking Raiders, their music plays when they go around all the way around to the arena. So they think they won. The Viking Raiders informed them that the Street Profits informed the Viking Raiders. It's in my notes if I read it that way. The Viking Raiders are informed of the fact that the lower score wins, making the Street Profits the winners, and they lead the series 2-1.
I was just kind of like, I was kind of worried, but we got some good comedic things from it, so it's growing on me.
It's 80s WWF,
right?
It's something that you would have saw play out in the 80s, like on Tuesday Night Titans or something, where it's just kind of
like the Mr. Perfect vignettes, yeah, when he was about to start,
right? Or even the Million Dollar Man joints, where every week they was going to do something different to see what people would do for money.
I'm still mad that we did to that kid with the basketball. I'm still mad about that. I'm still mad about that because he was dribbling, and next thing you know, he kicks it. Was like, God, such a goddamn heel. Good times.
Everything you see envisioned in Ted DiBiase is Vince McMahon.
Hey, I remember I listened to that Bruce Prichard episode. Exactly.
Hey, pal, how much can I pay you to not smoke on the plane?
Play, right.
$100? Go fuck yourself. $200? Whatever, man. It's $500. Oh, I got my attention.
Okay.
$1,000. Hey, I'll give us a cigarette. Here's a whole pack if you want it.
And Bruce took him talking about, so you are the $1 million man.
We go backstage. Lana has an ice pack for MVP. MVP wonders if she thinks this is a joke. Everything is such a joke to Lana. What she needs to understand is that Drew was sending a message. Lashley has his first title shot at Backlash, so what they need to do is send the message back to Drew right now, and he knows exactly how to do that. I like MVP in this role right here, man.
Yeah, I thought really that when he came back, it was just going to be a one-off, but in this role, what he's doing a real good job, so kudos to him. you know.
The more you can do, homie, the more you can do.
Yep.
Austin Theory and Buddy Murphy, they're taking on Aleister Black and Humberto Carrillo. Springboard moonsault by Black to both Austin Theory and Buddy Murphy. High kick to Buddy Murphy sends him to the outside. Roll up by Austin Theory on Black. That gets two count. High knee from Aleister Black. Back elbow strike to the back of the knee. To the back elbow. Then strikes to the back of the knee. Another kick sends Theory down. Looks like Aleister's got full control. That's when he tags to Humberto. Flies off. He rolls through. Kicks Murphy off the apron. Then Austin catches Humberto in a fireman's carry. And he hits the ATL. And they get the win. As Austin Theory and Buddy Murphy are successful in their debut match as a tag team. I mean, they got to come up with a name. The Monday Night Disciples or something. They got to have something.
They got to have some kind of name that will fit them.
Yeah, they got to have something. The Choir or something.
No. The hell, man? It ain't worse than Box of Gimmicks. Get out of here.
Hey, man, you never know. You just got to throw something out there and see what sticks.
Hey, of course. Think of New Day. New Day probably was like...
Tabernacle? Yeah, that would have worked. They could have sold a lot of t-shirts.
Oh, man.
So Seth comes in. He's on the. He was on the outside during the match. He comes in to raise their hands and directs them to attack. They send Aleister Black into the barricade. Then Seth gets on the mic and tells his peeps to grab Humberto. He says he needs to learn. Seth tells him that he needs to understand. Seth yells at Aleister Black not to move. He has a chair in his hand, and he's in the middle of the ring. Seth understands what they're trying to do. They want to fight for Ray, but he was sacrificed for the greater good. They both need to back off. So Seth tells Black to kick the chair out of the ring, or Humberto loses an eye. Seth doesn't want to sacrifice the two of them the way he was forced to do so with Ray. So he punked Aleister Black.
He did. He certainly did.
Backstage, Edge is here. He says Randy Orton laid the bait and he bit. Now he finds himself doubting his ability. He's transparent. Can he hang? Edge was retired for 3,012 days. He says in that time, Orton competed in 1,126 matches.
Damn. That's a lot of numbers.
Yes. It says that he has to prove himself to himself. He wants to thank Orton. He has been contemplating things he hasn't or that he has buried. The same night, he watched part one of The Last Ride and he watched himself pontificate on when it's time to hang up the boots. He was still retired. Now he's here. He speaks directly to Taker. He says he gets it. Edge tells Orton that if he wants to doubt his wrestling ability, he went toe-to-toe, hole-for-hole with so many legends, The Undertaker, Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, etc. He taught guys how to get to the next level. He says he was good at it. He was a five-star workhorse for this company. He says if Orton... he's paying attention. He'll notice that everything he said was in the past tense. He doesn't know if he can do any of those things anymore. But at Backlash, he's going to dig to the very depths of his soul to try. Because that's all a man can do. Is that fire truck sound ring coming on because that promo was fire?
Hey, it plays. I didn't know you can hear it because it's like kind of far away.
Yeah, mic sensitive. The streets in Baltimore know what's up with the Edge promo for this week.
Yeah, man. Now are you buying this whole greatest match
ever? I don't know who came up with that tagline, man.
They fed to Charlie and she read it and she said it. And I'm like, I was just sitting there like, what?
Even her face when she said it the very first time was like, I can't believe I just said that. Yeah, because they're not going to be able to live up to that moniker. There's no way.
No way.
Because Randy Orton don't know how to make his matches interesting. He don't know how to... Yes, it's cool to have a slow match. Yes, it's cool to have a mat-based match. Yes, it's cool not to have a match where you're not going to see, you know, one of the wrestlers do a dive. But you got to at least know how to speed the shit up and slow it down to give the people some excitement. You can't just keep the same monotone for the whole match. And that's where he and Triple H be messing up.
Big time.
Backstage, the Street Profits, they're talking to the Viking Raiders, who say that they let the Street Profits win the golf. The Viking Raiders get to choose the next challenge. Anything except gator wrestling is what the Street Profits ask. Eric asks if they know how to bowl. That's when MVP walks up to the four of them, saying, in the case of Street Profits, another case of extraordinary talent that will go down the drain because they'd rather golf than act like champions. MVP says he ain't got no respect for clowns. Montez Ford wonders how's his face. He says he better ice it up. MVP says he doesn't need ice. He says the Claymore kick is extremely devastating, but do you see who he rose with? And then he says, okay, how about the Street Profits versus Bobby Lashley and himself later tonight? I really like he came up to them and was like, y'all boys got all this talent, but y'all doing everything back and like the champions, even though y'all are the champions.
Right.
The old head trying to get a young buck some proper guidance. But they ain't him, though. Charlotte versus Nia Jax versus Natalya. Natty calls for the sharpshooter to Nia. Nia kicks her away. Flair comes in to roll up Natty. We get a two count. We get a figure eight to Charlotte. But that's when Nia hits the big leg drop on Charlotte. Then she gets Natty up and the fireman's carry. She hits the Samoa drop. And she pins Natty to win the triple threat match. Triple threat. I think this was the number one contenders match too.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's going to be Nia versus Asuka. At Backlash. Anything you like to answer?
Go Asuka. I'll add that.
Backstage, Drew has an official statement. He says he didn't plan the Claymore MVP, but he was asking for it. Caleb brings up the Street Profits match tonight. Drew says he was not aware of this. Perhaps he'll stick around for a little bit longer. He forgot something in the locker room and likely won't find it, until Bobby's match is over. The 24/7 title is brought up because R-Truth is talking about it. Then we get a promo from Gronk. He calls them our lies and says that, you know, he won't be hard to find and that he'll be, you know, having the 24/7 title anytime he wants to come looking for it. He can come get it. So this is where Tom Brady is going to come do something.
Yep.
It should be fine. We see MVP and Lashley backstage. They answer the why as to why they want that match. MVP points to Lashley and says, that's why. Liv says her biggest block in life has been her self-worth. She can't recall ever being good enough, but remembers at 6 when she asked what this thing called life was. Then she finally found out what she was missing when she found the WWE and got her first piece of ring gear with her name on it. She may not know all the answers because life keeps changing all the questions, but she does know that she is alive and she will fulfill who she is destined to be. She is living her best life. That's like my favorite Edge and Christian thing ever. I forgot who it was. It was either Edge or Christian, but they were like, he's like, hey, look at my boots. He's like, yeah, they're pretty cool, huh? He's like, yeah, they are. He's like, you know why they're cool? He's like, because they're new? He's like, no, it's because they have my name on. that's what that Liv Morgan from made me think about. What do you think they're trying to do with Liv Morgan, man?
Right now, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, she got some quality wins like in April, but now it's like, I don't know. She's just, it's like in limbo. So they're trying to, I guess, trying to figure out what to do with her. I hope they figure out something soon because, you know, she deserves.
Yeah, she's gotten a lot better since her injury and the time that she has come back and had these those consecutive weeks of matches on Raw. So, yeah, she's definitely stepped her game up. And, yeah, they can definitely use her in the women's division to add some spice. And hopefully they find out soon what they're going to do. Then we get a shocking announcement. Rey Mysterio is going to have an official retirement ceremony next week.
So, you know, it's going to be shenanigans.
Is he going to pass the mask over to Dominic?
I don't know. It's going to be shenanigans, though.
Main event time, Street Profits versus MVP and Bobby Lashley. We get a whip to the corner by Dawkins. He flies in with the spinning splash, and the Bulldog sends MVP to the mat hard. Cheap shot to Bobby Lashley. Montez Ford rushes in and sends Lashley into the plexiglass. We get the tag to Montez Ford. He hits a spinebuster, then he hits a frog splash. Lashley is on the outside. He runs Dawkins into the post. We get a pin on MVP, but that gets a two count. Lashley runs in. He locks in the full Nelson on Montez Ford. The ref starts to count. The ref gets to the five count. Lashley won't release the hold, so the ref has to disqualify Bobby Lashley. That's when Drew comes out, removes his shirt, then runs into the ring. Glasgow kiss. Lashley bounces off the ropes and shoots the legs. Drew is up. He sends Lashley down to the outside. Drew sends him into the barricade, then into the apron, then back into the barricade again. Drew gets him into the post. Drew then sends Lashley into the ring. He shoots for the legs again. Punches from Drew as the refs call for help. Two rookies from NXT come in, and Drew headbutts him away. Lashley then hits a spear to Drew. He mounts and punches Drew over and over. The ref calls for more help, and out come more NXT dudes, and they finally get enough of them in the ring to separate Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre, and that's how we go off the air. It's official. Bobby Lashley getting the push. Now, why couldn't they do this when Brock was around?
That's the big question right there. Because I would love to see Brock and Lashley just go at it.
Heck yeah. That's when they brought Bobby Lashley back. That's what I thought they was going to bring him back for. But nope. Not this time, player. Not this time. So yeah, that was this edition of Monday Night Raw. We've got about 2 weeks until Backlash. So everything from the Raw perspective looks like it's shaping up and forming up. We've got a women's title match, Raw women's title match, Nia and Asuka tag team women's title match, the Iconics versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. Looks like Seth Rollins and Aleister Black in some type of roundabout way is going to happen as well. So a lot of good matchups coming out of the Raw side here.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add, sir, before we get into the shout-outs and thank yous? Anything that you noticed or read about Monday Night Raw, or, you know, just your overall thoughts on the show as a whole?
So I guess, like, you know, with the whole crowd thing, they didn't let them sit down. They were standing up and everything. So I don't know. It's just, I'm hoping, as like, you know, this works. If it works in their favor, they kind of just retool it to make it work for them and everything. They had the barriers up and everything. So it looks like, I don't know, it just looked like they was at a hockey game or something like that. And it was just like, I'm waiting for pucks to get slapped against the glass and stuff like that. But, you know, like, I'm glad to see Apollo Crews getting a push. Glad to see Lashley, they doing something with him. You know, MVP is like doing his making his presence felt, you know, on the show. So, you know, still got ways to go to get back because we're still missing the crowds and everything. So I'll say, you know, they keep doing things like this, you know, fans get back into it.
Yeah. It's a good thing they finally got some atmosphere in there. So it was at least, you know, something to go off of just besides the sounds of the mat and the commentators. At least there were some cheering, some booing, things like that. I did add a little bit more to the show. So I can't complain about Monday Night Raw the past 2 weeks, actually. It's actually been really good. I don't know how many people have actually been sticking with wrestling during the empty arena era, especially WWE wrestling. So, but
I mean, it's been tough, but I've been, you know, it's been tough, but I've managed to, you know, watch and everything. And then it's like we got the tweets going on, so it kind of keeps it more watchable.
Oh, yeah. The live tweets are always far more entertaining than the actual shows themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Just. But yeah, they haven't let Bianca needed to get her. She needed to get like a feud or something, you know, on there because she been doing like main event. And I'm like, come on there. You didn't bring her up not to just not be on TV. Like, come on. We got to get this together.
Right. They're biding her time. I'm glad they're not just putting her out there with no aim.
Right.
So I'd rather her go ahead and, you know, get some more experience on how the main roster works every day to day and be on main event than they put her on TV and she's not really, you know, doing anything meaningful that's leading towards something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll see as this time goes on and these new and these shows and everything, but you know, we'll, like I said, they'll make the adjustments and everything as time goes on.
Oh yeah, no doubt. So at this time, Mr. Mo to the _, it's time for your shout outs and thank you, sir.
Just shout out to you. Thanks to you know, he hit me up, was like, he come through, was like, I got you, you know. Shout out Sam, DD, Classic, everybody who tweets with us on Monday nights. Shout out to Class of 2020. You know, shout out to us. You know, we fought for, you know, we worked hard, but we didn't get the graduation that we deserved. But we made it. You know, may have virtual graduations and whatnot, but you know, we got our degrees, diplomas, etc. You know, it's up to us, you know, to do for the future, so to speak. That's about it. You know, shout out to everybody on the frontline workers, everybody, hospital workers, retail, supermarkets, the post office, postal workers, you know, folks out here still have to get up, going to the day-to-day and getting the work done, you know, commend to all of you. You know, it's tough, but you know, we gotta do what we've been putting on here to do.
Well said, sir. Well said. I'd like to give a shout out to Mo to the _Reese for joining me in a pinch and for his graduating, doing his hard nights. Yeah, I remember you doing some nights in the library here on this podcast, getting your studies.
Yeah.
So shout out to you, man, for all the hard work. Shout out to Miss Didi Janae. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to everybody who listens to the podcast. All of the Wrestle Bays and the Ladies of the Glow. We appreciate you. Please become a member of the Patreon page over on patreon.com/CSPN Media. That's where you can listen to me and Miss Simi review AEW. This week, we're going to have a really big episode with Double or Nothing and the Dynamite that follows it. So go over to the Patreon page, become a $3 member, and you will get all the exclusive content that we produce for the CSPN and the WrestleCast. It's part of that membership. And it's at least the dark match, some pre and post conversations that we have for all our wrestling shows, and also the push, the effort by Heel Heat Podcast, and O-Face Wrestling. They talk about major and current events that happen in wrestling. Their latest episode was about the big layoff and how it's going to affect wrestling when everything starts opening back up. So please go check that out. Over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. You can also support the show the old school way by going to CSPN.us, clicking on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free, shopping with one of our sponsors, Amazon, Wink.com, I forgot all the sponsors because I haven't done this one in a long time. But yeah, just go click on one of those sponsors, buy something from the sponsors, and help please keep the show free each and every week. So for my co-host, special guest on this show, Mo_Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 7 of the Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
He's retired for 3,212 days. In that time, you competed in 1,126 matches. I did the research. And now I'm looking at it and I realize I have to prove myself to myself. So strangely, Randy, I want to thank you. Because you made me contemplate things I hadn't contemplated or that I had buried very, very deeply. So that same night, I got home and I watched the first installment of The Last Ride documentary series. And I watched myself on there pontificating about when is it time to hang up your boots. I was still retired at this point. And now, here I am. Randy, you want to doubt my wrestling ability? I have hung hold for hold, toe to toe with The Undertaker, with Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Christian, William Regal, Owen Hart, Mr. Perfect, Davey Boy Smith, the list goes on and on. Every style, I adapted. When it was my job, I pulled people up to my level. I taught guys how to get to the next level because that was part of my job and I was damn good at it. I was a 5-tool workhorse for this company. Now, if you're paying attention, and I know you are, Randy, you'll notice that everything I said was in the past tense. Because I don't know if I can do any one of those things anymore. Backlash.